Without a ball, it's just a court. And without your spirit, it's only a game. So, together with the fans, we bring our best. For your next pregame, let's share a twist on a classic, the Hennessy Margarita. A squeeze of fresh lime juice and a bit of agave syrup, topped off with ice and a salted rim. Mix it, shake it, pour it, and enjoy the spirit of the NBA. Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and older, please drink responsibly.
It's funny, we went to malls.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
Just hung out at malls.
Like, yeah. I think we had your rookie dare was to jump in the... wishing well.
Yeah,
fountain.
In Scottsdale. Y'all gonna give me $10,000 if I would jump in the wishing well at the mall in Scottsdale. And I'm like, bro, I would do something like that, but watch Doug Collins catch me, G.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another Friday segment of Point Forward Podcast. We have a special episode this week brought to you by the Spirits of Hennessy. Make sure you follow Point Forward across all social media platforms, and don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast.
Point Forward.
Without a ball, it's just a court. And without your spirit, it's only a game. So, together with the fans, we bring our best. For your next pregame, let's share a twist on a classic, the Hennessy Margarita. A squeeze of fresh lime juice and a bit of agave syrup, topped off with ice and a salted rim. Mix it, shake it, pour it, and enjoy the spirit of the NBA. Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and older, please drink responsibly.
Point Forward.
All right, Dre, so like we said prior, we spent a combined 29 years into the NBA. We clearly, over those years, we were well-traveled, well-cultured, and, seen a few spots that, you know, we definitely frequented. But, over the time, you know, there's certain small town cities and then there's NBA cities where you're some of the best cities in the world. Mm-hmm. So over your time, what do you remember about hitting the road and what were some of your favorite cities to, you know, go out in and, you know, also playing but kicking in off the court?
I think it's how you spent your free time changed most over your career. You know, when you're young, you know, obviously, it's funny, we went to malls.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
Just hung out at malls.
Like, yeah. I think we had your rookie dare was to jump in the...
wishing well.
Yeah. Fountain.
Yeah, in Scottsdale. Y'all gonna give me $10,000 if I would jump in the wishing well at the mall in Scottsdale. And I'm like, bro, I would do something like that, but watch Doug Collins catch me, G. Remember? So I didn't end up doing that. And then y'all did the bet again in OKC. And you're like, bro, in the water, remember?
Yeah.
We were walking. He's like, bro, I'll give you $5,000 if you jump in here. I was like, bro, I would do it. I'm in so much trouble right now. I guarantee Doug would see me. Remember we were walking back and Doug.
And we saw Doug.
We saw Doug. I was like, bro, if I would have walked back drenching in water, bro, he would have been heated. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, for sure.
But I guess that was pretty cool. Like, when you break down some of the cities, one thing I always remember when we played together, Pauls, was, going and coming back to some of, like, the best restaurants, you know?
Yes.
So, like, one spot that you always kind of remember is, like, when you hit Miami. And obviously you got to go down to South Beach and do, like, the Ocean Prime.
Right.
Or Prime 112, the Prime 112, or Prime Italian?
Prime Italian, yeah. Across the street.
And then, you know, back in the day before it started getting too, just showing our age now, Philippe Childs was still.
You had a lot of NBA players invested in Philippe Childs, so that was a hot spot. Whenever we hit New York, we would go to Philippe Childs. When we went to Chicago, if it wasn't a late night at Harold's, we would go into Gibson's.
Then the Viagra Triangle.
Right.
Y'all know what that is.
Right.
In Chicago, the Viagra Triangle was made up of
Carmine's,
Gibson's Steakhouse, and then Tavern on Rush. Oh, they just changed it to they just changed it, shut down.
I didn't know that. Wow.
But we're from Chicago, in the great city of Chicago. When it gets nice out, those are the three, you know, restaurants on the same street. It's on Rush Street, so it's called the Viagra Triangle because of those three nice restaurants. Successful businessmen hang out there with their
significant
other. You know, it's a one bedroom jump off over there, and from there, But the ambiance, to be completely honest, we joke, it sounds crazy, but when you pull up to Chicago, it's one of those streets, you got a bunch of old school foreign cars because of the young, you know, I mean, the old businessmen, and then you see a bunch of young, beautiful women just enjoying their time, and it makes for a great ambiance. I'd be on the side, I don't be Where they at?
No, my favorite watch store was down the street.
Oh, yeah, Geneva Sale?
Yeah, yeah. He was right there, and then he moved closer down. And so we had some fun times. But I think the main cities were obviously New York, Miami. Folks were getting antsy to get down to Miami. Like, I never seen so many guys excited to get on the plane heading to Miami. Right. It was just like, you know, that was a long flight.
Yeah, and it's winter time usually.
Guys didn't mind that flight.
Yeah. That's
guys didn't mind that flight at all.
Because it's so crazy. When you live in like one of those crazy cities of where it's cold and stuff, people don't comprehend how much like 55 degrees in the winter is going to turn you up. Like, we used to feel like we were going to jump through the roof. So when you hit Miami, you going from like thick cottons and winter coats to like, shoot, that taco me showing you in silk cottons and, you know what I mean, linen and everything like that.
Hennessy and Mitchell & Ness have come together for the ultimate drop, a limited edition collection to celebrate Hennessy's continued partnership with the NBA. Because some things just go together, like Evan and myself.
Hey, man. Remember when we met back in the day at Tim Grover's attack facility? Mm-hmm. I think it was like 08. I was finishing up my freshman year, and you were about to prepare to get that bag, right?
Yes, my extension year.
We met in 08. In 2010, we fast-forward to be each other's teammates.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously thought I was better than you. Then the first day of practice, I go baseline. You Brian blocked my shot before
that
Brian.
That was a good block, G. Bro, remember that.
Bro, that was an amazing block. I'm looking like, bro, what just happened back there? And then I'm like thinking something, like talking to my agent, like, bro, you just said I was better than this.
Look, on the court, you're surrounded by a collection of personalities, egos, and talent. But when the pieces come together, that's when you form a great team. The same thing is true when you mix a great drink. Different ingredients come together for the first time, complementing one another to make something out of this world. And beyond the drinks, this drop with Hennessy and Mitchell & Ness celebrates the intersection of basketball with art, music, and fashion. Elements of culture that represent ways the fans and players pay homage to the game.
The exclusive collection will have a limited drop available for both in retail and online. Check out at Hennessy US on Instagram for more information. Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and older, please drink responsibly. What was, like I said, when we first started, you mature, you know, each year, mm-hmm. like by bit by mm-hmm. bit. We went from like landing to having our leisure time at malls and, you know, at the hottest restaurants to, you know, kind of making everything kind of like custom. Like, you might have showed up and like, yo, here goes my watch spot and here goes one spot I kick it at. But one thing that occurred that you started doing later in your career was going from like hanging out at watch spots to trying to cross over and be like a business mogul. What was that like, the first start and start using those NBA cities to be like, all right, this is where I'm going to go meet this CEO. Or this is where I'm going to go do this and take the, you know, next jump.
Yeah, so I started to get really strategic. And the funny part of it was, you know, I was just trying to form certain habits. You know, it says it takes, what, 21 days to form a habit or something like that.
Yeah, so like,
and so what I tried to do was, it was for a couple seasons where I wouldn't turn the TV on in my room.
All right.
And so I would purposely go into my room and I would just like be efficient with my time. You know, so I read a book for a certain amount of time and then I read about anything that I was excited about, whether it was golf, whether it was fashion, watches. Like, I wouldn't watch TV unless it was work, which is a game.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you got to watch the games. You know, basketball. But other than that, I tried not to turn the TV on. I did really well at that. But I was just really catching up. The books I was reading were all on business. And then from there, you just keep layering on top of it in terms of, like, your research. So now I'm reading each city that I'm going to and, like, who was somebody that I would want to meet in that city.
Yeah.
So San Antonio was an interesting place because Austin is so close by.
Yeah, 45 minutes right
there. Right. And you got some moguls down in Austin that I would try to connect with. And that started working.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. Then coming to New York, I never forget one of my trips in New York, Snapchat. They had them come to our hotel and set up on like one of the conference room levels. And that's when they first had the spectacles.
Okay.
The glasses with the camera on them. So I was able to, you know, pass them out to my teammates. They did the experience. Yeah. And so that led to me, you know, like possibly being able to do something with Snapchat over time. You know, and just kind of showing, like, branding yourself, essentially.
Yeah.
So whenever I had the opportunity to try to brand myself, that's what I tried to do. Went down to Miami, and it was my birthday weekend. I'll never forget. It was my birthday week, and I went to Magic Leap.
Magic Studio. I was like, boy, what?
Atlanta hasn't changed. I haven't figured out the right cadence in Atlanta,
yeah.
Business-wise. I'm kidding. But in Miami, I went to Magic Leap 1 year, which was like an hour and like 15 minutes away. It was like a drive. And Magic Leap, it was the one of the first augmented reality companies. So you got the Apple Vision Pros. They were that. They started that first. Like, they were the first ones with the product. They still haven't come to market yet because it's like this heavy headset. Yeah. It weighed like 15 pounds. Like, it's on some crazy type stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, you go back old school when you see how they iterate something over and over and slim down, you know, Moore's Law. Well, they're trying to figure it out to where it's like sunglasses. And so they're close to getting there now. But I was able to see that in 2017, 18. So this is 6-7 years ago I saw this. And to see what augmented reality is versus virtual reality was like blew my mind. And so I could see like what was coming to the future. And like Apple's here now. I have Apple Vision Pro. But even knowing like there's so much further to go still, and eventually knowing that they just want to get to a contact. Like, it's a contact that just goes in your eye, and you get the same experience.
Then they're going to get to chin at the casinos and everything. That's pretty slow. So I'm like, man, now you got X-ray vision contacts. So you're getting four houses.
But that's how I, you know, changed up my flow, you know, how I, you know, went on the road and, like, how I was handling myself. And then I would still be strategic with, you know, hanging out with my teammates. That's still a big part of it, like, going out to certain restaurants. Like, I changed up what restaurants I went to. You know, like, Harrison Barnes introduced me to, like, Michelin star restaurants. Like, he only eats at Michelin star restaurants.
He looks fun. Yeah, I believe that. Harris, I like you a lot. I actually do. So, like, shout out to Harris. For you, to me, that was Spencer Hawes. Okay. I think Spencer Hawes is, like, one of the biggest Renaissance men on, like, earth. Like, we're in Philly. I spent All-Star break with him because we got snowed in. So he literally took me around Philly to all his corner spots.
Oh, wow.
Everything. And it was probably like, I was traded like 3 weeks after. And I remember sitting there seeing all these spots. I'm like, yo, I'm done living in the city, living outside the city because I didn't experience any part of the city.
Right.
And that's what really kind of opened my mind. I'm like, you know what? Every city I go to, I'm just going to like jump on a Segway, do a tour, figure out what restaurant it is, and like just dive into there because it was like, yo, I'm literally just going to TGI Fridays. And that's kind of how, like, or Hooters. Like, one of our first meals we had back when I was a rookie was going to Hooters, but we were in Virginia or something like that.
It was probably preseason.
It was a preseason game. Yeah, but when you think about it, you see how things have changed over time. How about, like, certain cities you've gone to? Like, I remember being a rookie and we were staying all the way at the Four Seasons. Was it the Ritz-Carlton and Marina Del Rey? Because waiting for that Four Seasons across from, like, the Staples Center or Crypto. Like,
to be built.
Yeah, how have you seen cities over time being like, man, after 5 or 6 years, this plan worked out. Like, when you look at how nice Crypto Arena area is, or you go sometimes to shoot Milwaukee. Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, that's just a nice area around there.
Yeah, super nice. It used to only be a Benihana down there. Now that bad boy jumping. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Charlotte.
Charlotte's got it nice over time,
too. Yeah, Charlotte's gotten there.
What city is growing on you over time, and, like, for what? Like, I think Toronto has always been something for me.
But Toronto is totally different right today than it was when I first got in the league. And so Toronto was like a melting pot. Obviously, Carabana has been going on there for decades. Yeah. So I saw the first one after I got drafted. Vince Carter had his celebrity game that summer. I went. Yeah. Great time. So you see all the beautiful people.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the city and like the food, the culture, all that, it was really kind of hard to find.
Yeah.
But now going to Toronto, it doesn't feel foreign. Like, when I first got into the league and when we stepped foot in Toronto, it was like, we're in another country.
Yeah, for sure.
This is foreign. We got to exchange money.
Chocolate was different. Like, you see what their face was? You're like, what?
Yeah, like, you know, selling bonbons, or like, you might see French speaking folks and stuff like that. And I can read French, but like, it just felt foreign.
Yeah.
And then like, you couldn't get food after a certain period of time. After like 9 o'clock, it was shut down. But now going to Toronto, I'm like, yo, this place is, I could live here. And the experience in Toronto is like, that's the city that's like,
it's only 3 hours across the border, too. That's what people don't understand either. Like, even when I just live in Columbus, you know, people from Toronto, it's like, man, you could drive that little 4 hours up the road. You know what I mean?
What city has made the best transformation for you?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of people, I love Boston.
Boston.
To be completely honest with you, I've always been a big advocate of Boston. I think one thing that occurs is you watch a Mark Wahlberg movie or somebody from like the neighborhood, you know, for years they always harp on like, obviously it's racism everywhere. Clearly they harp on like the women being hideous and, you know, all this crazy stuff, or like you would think it was a wild town, especially considering coming from Philly. I just figure it'd be somewhat similar, like a rowdy like East Coast town. But when I showed up to Boston, it was like, much like you said with like Toronto, like the demographic was super diverse. And, you know what I mean? There were spots for me to go out and really, you know, come into my own. So I felt like, obviously, when I hit the league, that was like jumping off the porch. But then, like, when I hit Boston, I took my glasses off. You know what I mean? And that was kind of like, I just enjoyed the city. The city was lit. The environment was dope. But I think, like, one thing that occurred was, like, the love that people had for the team really, you know, kind of opened doors for you to be able to maneuver around comfortably. And not in, like, a negative way, but just in a genuine way. So.
No, for sure. Boston was the first city I had. Cache Pepe at.
Okay, Cacio e Pepe.
Cacio e Pepe. Yeah. And that is one of my favorite dishes.
You had it at Aria Trattoria.
Yes.
Shout out to my man, Massimo's.
He's what is this? It was incredible. I'm having it when I leave here.
Yeah, bro.
Order that for me.
Yeah, it's literally, no. Yo, it is. I didn't start eating that bad boy pause until like 26, right? And I was like, damn, I'm tweaking. Like, I just could have been here. Like, once I had...
No, I just had it a couple years ago. With
yeah, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, when,
2022.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah. Yeah. And then we went to Italy that summer, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, bro, I'm eating this for like, everywhere.
Yeah. But it's not an Italian dish from what I hear.
It's not?
It's not a traditional Italian dish, because I went, you know, my man Matteo.
Yeah.
I was already from the Union.
Oh, right. Shit. Spaghetti is not a traditional black dish either. We eat that bad boy three times a week growing up.
Fish.
Yeah. So what you want to say is tastes right to me.
And you put me on a hotel in Boston.
The Newberry.
Yeah.
The Newberry with the upstairs, what's it, Contessa. That's a nice rooftop bar. Hmm. Then across the street is all Newberry Street.
So yeah, that's a great
street.
You
know, you're inside Tiffany, Chanel. I mean, Boston's a great, to be honest with you, I love Boston in a sense. Every time we landed, I would go to Riccardi. Shout out to Riccardi. That was like the best clothing store on earth. You go down to Newberry. Boston's kind of like Philly in a sense where Paul's is not too big, so you can get around those areas, the Back Bay, the North End. But that energy, especially when the weather was good, we play in the playoffs. Remember, we took our moms to the movies. That was 2012.
Yeah.
We hung out. We walked all around the streets, bro. Around.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I ain't hear nothing racist, if you think about it. That was 2012. So
closet racist.
Closet racist. I'm good with that, too. And then One city that we talked about before we dipped that I got to spend like 2 days in, but you loved it, was Vancouver.
Oh, my God.
Man, that's what I'm saying. Right. So what he said,
Vancouver is elite.
I want to tell people, like, bro, why nobody ever told me about Vancouver, dog? Like,
Vancouver is beautiful.
Weather is beautiful. The food is actually great. Yeah. Like, it's scenic, like mountains, all that. And then just the energy, bro, like. Well, energy out there, crazy.
And it's similar to one of my favorite NBA cities was Seattle.
You told me that. I love going to Seattle. Seattle's a vibe.
It was just a lightness to it. I know it rained. Yeah. Like, you get stuck in your hotel and it was raining, but if you can get outside in Seattle, like, it was very light and, like, fresh air.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. The energy is super. Yeah. The Pacific Northwest has a crazy chill. They don't get above 83 degrees and breezy. So you see why them people are like, man, what else?
Yeah. Favorite city to shop in.
Well, my favorite city to shop in. Bro, it'll shock you. So every time we played for the Sixers, we used to have that 2 week road trip because of Disney on Ice would come in town.
Right.
So for a couple of years, I would get ready to shop in San Fran, surprisingly.
San Fran?
Yeah. Like, that was back when Barney's was RIP Barney's, man. I don't know what y'all did. I don't know what happened, but I bought enough to keep that bad boy going. So somebody was stealing, but San Fran?
Yeah, San Fran.
That little area, before they got the stealing, yeah. I thought that was one of my favorite cities. Like I said, Boston, Riccardi was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I really liked that. And then LA was cool, bro. When you're a kid, you know, I correlated with the Mighty Ducks when they go on Rodeo Drive. That was kind of like a bucket list thing. Like, the kids like, yeah, my uncle, was it Tory Spelling or something like that? Like, one of those moves. And I remember going to... you know, the Beverly Hills Hotel, or is that what it's called?
The Beverly Wilshire.
And you just walk right outside. Yeah. That was an NBA moment and being like, yo, this is Rodeo. Yep. And the streets just look so clean, so beautiful. And then when you walk through the store, you like, when you walk into the store, you're like, yo, I could buy something here, right? Like, I can buy it. I thought that was one of my, I think that was, you can never get used to that. That's, it's beautiful down there.
It was beautiful.
What, when you're sitting there, what's the extra city? Because, you know, sometimes coaches will let you stay overnight. What's a city where you're like, hey, coach, if we got a day off tomorrow, I'm staying here. And I'll meet y'all in the next city, or I'll just meet you back home.
It's funny because we, later in my career, it was based on the ability to golf.
Okay.
So if we could golf, we get an extra day in the city.
Yeah.
And don't let anywhere near Atlanta come up with a day off. We're going to explore Georgia a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
That's true.
But Georgia was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but at one point, when did you guys, I remember, I think it's first couple of years during the Warriors run, you guys were golfing nonstop.
Yeah.
And then when did that start dying down? Did it just get too crazy? Because at one point, I was like, yo, do y'all even hoop or do y'all golf? Like, was it getting too crazy to go outside and, like, really try to golf and, like, lock in? Or, and was the dynasty too crazy? Like, yo, we can't be seen golfing, having fun, and you got people talking about the dynasty over, we doing this and the third.
You know what's funny? It wasn't really about that. Because, like, 15, 16, a little, 17. We golfed. So like 3 years, like we were bringing our clubs on the road. It got a little weird when people were pulling up to the golf courses, like for autographs.
Yeah, that is weird.
It's like, how did you even know
yeah.
which golf course we were at? There's so many golf courses in certain areas. It's like, how y'all know which one we at?
Yeah, and then it's like, have some, this is golf, have some cool. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? It's
yeah,
like,
it was, damn, it was, so like, it was weird.
Yeah, you.
But the funniest part of it all is I think we got so busy in maximizing just the windows.
Yeah, that's real.
You just got backed up on work. So it was like work on top of work. So it was like you're leaving the court, now you gotta get your business deals done. Or somebody gotta shoot a commercial. Like Steph moving shoot units now. Like he got obligations. Yeah. Everywhere you go was just an obligation. And I
it's
think
like
that
we
just,
became adults. It's like what happened? We all got married. How about that? You know?
Essentially.
We all got married and we just had to be adults.
Yeah, that's real.
That's crazy. But I mean, I think one thing that's lit that's super cool that how you did it. It's like, what did you take from the game? Because it's a moment that really sets the tone. It's like, nah, like y'all were really about y'all business in San Fran. And it's like, what you guys were able to do there really actually paved the way to where we're at now. It's like, it wasn't just like you guys had one of the best teams ever. It's like you had some of the best leverage ever, some of the best minds ever, some of the best like creators ever to be like, yo, all right, we're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Now we're on the cover of Bloom's Week.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like making play. But it's time to like, people are inviting you out to like celebrate you or be like, nah, I'm sitting down trying to do business.
Point forward.
Don't forget to subscribe to Point Forward, the podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, and follow us on all social platforms at Point Forward.
Without a ball, it's just a court. And without your spirit, it's only a game. So, together with the fans, we bring our best. For your next pregame, let's share a twist on a classic, the Hennessy Margarita. A squeeze of fresh lime juice and a bit of agave syrup, topped off with ice and a salted rim. Mix it, shake it, pour it, and enjoy the spirit of the NBA. Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and older, please drink responsibly.